Venus in Fur, David Ives' kinky two-person comedy, has arrived on Broadway after a highly acclaimed off-Broadway run last year. It's the story of a desperate actress auditioning for a role in an adaptation of Leopold von Sacher-Masoch's 19th-century novella, Venus in Furs. Hugh Dancy stars as the director-writer of the adaptation within the adaptation, and Nina Arianda has returned to her role as the mysterious actress who, in the course of her audition, comes to embody the role. Venus in Fur is playing at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater until December 18th. It's gotten fabulous reviews, and I'm very pleased it has brought both actors back to our show today. Hello.
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 Hugh, when did you first become involved with this play? You weren't in the original production.
No, that's correct. I met Nina and Walter Bobby, who directed the show, and David Ives, who wrote it, and a few people from the Manhattan Theatre Club back. Well, how long have we been doing this now? We've been performing for maybe 5 weeks, rehearsing for three before that, and I probably met them about a month before that, so I lost the math somewhere along the way.
So you'd already filmed Martha Marcy, May
yes,
Marlene,
yes,
and,
yes.
and Hysteria as well?
Yes, they were both filmed last year.
Had you seen the version at the CSC?
No, fortunately. I had regretted not seeing it because I'd heard great things, and then obviously revised my opinion when I actually got involved. I was glad not to have been exposed to it.
Nina, is it odd doing a play for so long with one actor and then doing the same thing? I don't know whether Hugh's rhythms are even close to...
No, it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary because you get to... I get the gift of kind of reintroducing myself to the part and being informed by Hugh has brought a whole different life to the part and to the play. And it's just wonderful.
Well, is it fun for you as an actor to play... do something about an audition? After all, this is the bane of many actors' lives, although not
it's
yours,
It's cathartic
Nina.
In many ways.
Your audition for this has become a legend by now.
Is that right?
What happened? How did you prepare for this?
For the audition?
The original one.
Oh, for the original. Well, I think, like most actors, I got the material, luckily, ahead of time, about a week and a half ahead of time. And... It was in some ways easy because I fell in love with the script right away and feverishly kind of went headfirst into preparing for it and kind of threw everything against the wall because I really didn't think there was a chance of me getting hired for it.
Well, to some degree, it parallels what happens in the play where
sure.
the playwright is looking for an established actress, can't find anybody, and in comes this unknown and winds up getting the part.
Well, I think actually he's looking for any actress that can do the job. And I think that to some extent, well, how can I put this? I think that the version of auditioning that you see on stage in this play is slightly mythologized. And I would suggest that the story of Nina's own audition has become slightly mythologized as a result, if that's fair to say,
sure.
because it fits the narrative. By and large, in my experience, auditioning is often a very enjoyable and certainly usually a polite and kind of fairly protected environment. I mean, it's rare that you go into a room and you feel that somebody is taking advantage of you.
Well, not taking advantage, but my mother was an actress, and she would tell mm-hmm. stories of being sent to an audition where they were looking for a Fran Lope type, and then there would be four other women who looked exactly like her, and there
sure.
was a good chance she wouldn't get the part.
Oh, yeah, and no, that's true.
It was slightly embarrassing, humiliating.
Yeah.
But and you wonder why did they pick that one and not me?
Yeah, I wasn't enough like myself.
Which is almost like a sadomasochistic experience, no?
Absolutely. I think auditioning is, in a way. Being an actor is.
But it's also a matter of seduction, isn't it? Because when you're auditioning, you're trying to convince the people who are watching you that you're the right person.
Yeah, and you're trying to convince yourself as well. Yeah, it is. I mean, I suppose seduction. I think, though, that usually you know when you're actually are right for something. And quite often I go into audition for something thinking in the back of my mind, I personally wouldn't cast myself, but I'll do the best job I can because I like these people and I want to be here and I want to work. And then you're kind of attempting to just pull out whatever tricks you can. But sometimes it works.
You wind up being cast even though you thought you weren't right for the part.
Sometimes you're wrong. I mean, sometimes, in fact, other people have a better sense of what you can do or what you might be capable of doing than you do. And sometimes you're tragically right.
Well, there's something to be said for going against type.
Absolutely. And there's something to be said for stretching yourself as well.
I would imagine that's true of you, Nina, because you're not like either of the characters I've seen you, or any of the characters I've seen you play. Maybe the woman in Midnight in Paris, because that's she's just a nice person.
Well, thank you. Yes, huh?
But you're not nothing like Billy Dawn in Born Yesterday or this character.
No, but that's the fun part about doing what we do, I think, is that you get to try on different hats by being different people in the journey, maybe learn something about yourself.
Well, some people would argue that all personal relationships involve something of a power play, and that's what makes this so effective. Although this goes a lot further, I think David Ives told us when the first time you were here that he had actually thought originally of just doing a straight play version of the book, Venus in Furs.
That's right.
And then he realized that wasn't going to work.
Right.
I think Walter Bobby let him know that it wasn't going to work, is the story that they tell between them, that he wrote it, and then Walter, with his experience of staging David's plays, said, I'm not sure this on its own will work, and David went away and kind of dwelt with the play in his mind for a few months and then produced this version in 10 days or something
just amazing
popped out
that.
Of him.
Well, the Venus in Furs, the original material, has a little that's really funny in it. And this play is very funny. So he went from writing something that would have been incredibly serious and heavyweight to something that deals with a lot of important themes, but at the same time is gets a lot of laughs.
And I think that's the best way to get a serious message across is through humor. I think it's more received that way.
Mm-hmm. And he also, I mean, kind of brilliantly, he somehow managed to make this 180-degree turn where he's kind of laughing at the material himself. You know, he all the bits of the original book that could be a bit difficult to stage, people beating each other, these kind of very intense relationships, that he punctures them in a way before the audience can do it. And I think that allows the audience to stay with the play.
When it's a two-person play, do you have to have a good personal relationship with the other actor?
You don't have to, but I think it certainly helps, especially in a play like this where I think trust is such an important element to doing it successfully.
Well, there's a lot of physical comedy in this play as well. Mm-hmm. If you really hated each other, that could be torture, couldn't it?
It could.
And almost sadomasochism.
Well, we're not kind of on the whole falling on each other or over each other.
There's some certain amount of that.
I think it's more, it's what Nina referred to, which is that it's a very intimate experience because you're on stage with one other person for an hour and 45 minutes, and you have to trust that person pretty implicitly.
The set, Nina, is different from the one that you had off-Broadway. That was done in a thrust,
right,
with the audience on three sides. This is a more traditional proscenium. How much does that change the play and your performance?
I don't know if it changed. I don't know how to answer that. I know that Walter and John Lee Beatty kind of had this brilliant idea of looking at how to restage it in almost how do we make it a similar experience of having a fly on the wall experience as an audience member, and they kind of brought it into almost an installation piece.
They put a ceiling
they did
on the room, which is rare in a Broadway play. It really works. It gives us a certain kind of claustrophobic feeling.
And for us as well, I think, for me anyway, It's kind of wonderful being able to look up and still be in the same room.
Do you think that you're getting the same kinds of audiences you get in other plays? First of all, some people, I saw the play in its first version and then the second version. And I suspect there were other people in the audience who have come back.
Well, I think there's a broad audience because, I mean, first of all, it's at the Manhattan Theatre Club, so you've got those subscribers, so that's a fairly broad swathe of the audience already. And then there's maybe a younger crowd that saw it downtown and want to revisit it. And obviously, as the play was so successful in its first incarnation, and as they extended it, more and more people heard about it then, and people in the business and so on. So it's quite a broad demographic, as I say.
Well, why do you think it's found such a wide audience? The book is pretty much regarded by the general public, to quote Vonda, your character, as basically S&M porn.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's kinkier than they let on.
That's right.
Or curious about kinky.
Or more curious, maybe, yeah.
I think it's a brilliant script, and I think it's very rare, and I think that people have a great desire to see something different, and this is the perfect opportunity for that.
How would you describe the transformation your character goes through in this play, Hugh? Because yours goes through a lot more of it. We kind of understand Vonda is a wild character from the start.
Right, right. He does go through quite a transformation, and I'm not entirely sure where he ends up exactly, but he is forced through a series of kind of surrenders to recognize that there's more to his writing, this play that he has adapted, than even he realized, and that there's more to himself that he has realized, perhaps, as revealed in his writing. And I mean, that's part of it. And it's part of it is also this game, which becomes, I guess, the stakes get higher and higher, and he consistently, he kind of jumps over a series of cliffs. I think he's constantly given the option to stop, and he chooses to carry on and carry on. And that in itself is, I think, a revelation for him.
Yeah, he learns more about who he really is.
He's learning about
why he's even attracted to this material in the first place.
Yeah, it is that. But, I mean, it's certainly not as simple as that he learns, you know, he discovers that he secretly wants to be whipped. I mean, I think there's a lot more to it than that. It's more about surrender and a kind of sense of his own frailty, if you like.
Well, it's probably no accident that at least in the kind of relationship that we have in Venus and Furs, the book, and inferred in the play, a woman gets to dominate and a man to submit. These are the opposite of gender stereotypes in real life. But as actors, I would imagine that's part of the appeal of a role like this.
Yes, and not only that it reverses normal stereotypes, but that it flips on itself within the course of the play. I mean, at least once, if not twice. I mean, we swap characters. We're swapping in and out. You know, jumping from playing, as you said, I'm playing this fairly dominant, kind of intellectually, quite arrogant in a way, playwright.
You make the point that you are the playwright. You are the one, the director.
I am the playwright,
charge.
The director. I'm the boss, and then within the play. You know, the play within the play, I'm playing this character who's allowing himself to be dominated. And then it switches again and again and equally for Nina. So,
and that's what I love about it, too, is that you get to experience both sides of the coin. Mm. And like it says in the play, the more he submits, the more control he's got over her.
We have very little time left, but I know at the CSC there are occasional Q&As. Do any people who are into S&M get up and ask questions or talk about the
we
play?
We haven't had a lot. I'm
not
sad.
Really.
I've missed them.
Maybe they're just, you know, the S&M is it's only an acronym they're interested in. Q&A is just too confusing. They're collecting letters, you know. So they're gone. They're on the street by the time we get out to the front of the audience.
Why does the play have to close on the 18th?
Because it's the MTC, and they have WIT coming in. They have their shows lined up, you know, over the course of the year. So Cynthia Nixon is acting in WIT, and I guess that's coming in the very beginning of the new year.
Mm-hmm. And I assume you have other things already lined up?
We'll see what happens with this. There's possibility of another life to this production.
So we'll see.
Well, I thank you so much for being with us again
on
the show.
Nina
Arianda and Hugh Dancy, the stars of Venus in Fur, currently at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater. And that runs until, unfortunately, December 18th, so you better rush and see it soon. It's hilarious.
Thank you so much.